Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I just realized I don't have my headphones on, so during the opening hymn, I'm going to run back and put that on. But it is great to be with you in worship today. As we battle the cold, it's great to gather together as we continue our Advent series. We have been following along this season with the Virgin Mary and learning about the Christmas story through her lens. And today I pray that you will find how the presence of God always leaves behind it a wake of peace and joy. Well, let us sing our first hymn together, number 341.
Thank you.
Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints with shout for joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb."
And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's perhaps a strange matchup of readings we have this evening. In the gospel reading, you remember that we just read about Mary and the Christmas story, particularly focusing on her visit with Elizabeth. But then in our Old Testament reading, we read about the Ark of the Covenant and how David brought it to Jerusalem with singing. And to be honest, it's actually a matchup that I've never really thought of before. And And yet what I have found so fascinating is that for a long time now, Bible scholars have seen many parallels between the Ark of the Covenant and the Virgin Mary. Now, as a quick reminder, the Ark of the Covenant was in essence just a gold-plated box. And while it wasn't anything special on its own, what did make it special, though, in the Old Testament was that that was the place where God promised to dwell with his people. You read throughout the whole Old Testament and you see it was there, above this Ark of the Covenant, that God would manifest himself. Between two seraphs, he made his presence known in a very special way. Even though he's infinite, and even though the heavens of heaven can't contain him, even though, really speaking, he's everywhere at all times, yet he promised to be with Israel in a very special and unique way. In a blazing ball of light, God dwelt in a mysteriously unique and mighty way with Israel. These were his special people, and so he visited with them night and day, 24/7. He made himself known to them by living among them visually. Again, making himself manifest above the Ark of the Covenant. That is what made it so special. But as history progresses, and as Israel continued to fall deeper and deeper into sin, ultimately rejecting their God altogether, we find that so too did God reject them. Eventually, he pulled his presence from them and left. His glory departed from their midst. But that's, of course, where scholars say where Mary now comes in. For in many ways, as the Ark of the Covenant was in the Old Testament, so Mary now is in the New. For in her own way, we watch as Mary now becomes the new ark, if you will. She's now the container holding within herself the Lord God. In her womb, she bears the very person of God, the promised Christ child, Jesus Christ, very God of very God. Now, though in the Old Testament God dwelt among his people in the Ark of the Covenant, now in the New Testament he dwells among them bodily. God himself has come down in human flesh. It was as the prophecies long foretold, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he will be named Emmanuel," meaning God with us. You know, again, we can see similarities between Mary and the Ark by looking at what each held inside. Again, in the Old Testament, we're told that more than just being the dwelling place of God, the priests held three very significant items within. Within the Ark, there were the Ten Commandments. There was, again, Aaron's staff that budded. And lastly, there was a jar of manna. Within the Ark, these three things were to give witness. That is, they were to give constant testimony to the relationship that God was to have with his people. He was to be their lawgiver, as witnessed by the commandments. He was to be their leader and their guide, witnessed by Aaron's staff. And of course, he was to be their provider as he so faithfully rained down manna from heaven. And again, beloved, we behold Mary, likewise having within her Jesus, he who himself holds a threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. He who is the great shepherd come down from heaven to lead his people in righteousness. The leader and lawgiver to us as he brings the kingdom of heaven near. And as he provides for all of our needs in bringing us to heaven. What a blessing this Christ child is to the world. Well, dear friends, there are literally dozens of comparisons and contrasts that we could make between Mary and the Ark of the Covenant. But for our purposes today, I want to focus our attention upon just one more. And that is upon the wake of blessing that each one left behind it. Wherever the two went, we see that blessings always seemed to follow. Joy constantly waked behind them. Again, we notice in the first reading, we see the ark going to the house of Obed-Edom, upon whom the favor of the Lord so quickly rested. The Lord smiled upon him, and he did him good. So much good that within just 3 short months, people already began to see the obvious blessings that God was having upon him. And so David, as king, he orders to take the ark to bring it to Jerusalem. And all along the way, we see him just dancing and singing. The Lord has come, and the saints now rejoice. And again, dear friends, is that not what we see with Mary as well? For when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, immediately we're told the baby John leaps within her womb. Blessings flow wherever the Christ child is, even to the lowly and unborn. Blessings still flow. Though John is unconsciously unaware of virtually anything that's happening, a mere fetus, it doesn't matter. Even still, joy must follow in the wake of wherever Jesus is. You know, while most kings leave in their wake death and destruction, rulers constantly leave behind them trampled on people and slaves and war and famine. The Lord God, though, leaves behind him a wake of peace and blessings. We see deserts bloom, rocks crying out, angels singing, men and women finding life and salvation. We see the praises of the Lord constantly on the children of Adam. That is the beauty of Christmas, that the Lord God has come into the world bringing blessings behind him. Everywhere he goes, he scatters seed abundantly. He's always liberal in his gifts, extending mercies to even the chief of sinners. Everywhere he goes, Jesus leaves behind him prosperity and life. These are but just a few ways in which Mary is like the Ark of the Covenant as she bears the Son of God. But now, dear friends, when it comes to us, What really makes this whole idea meaningful is in knowing that our relationship with Jesus is even greater than the relationship that Mary had with him. Yes, we saw last week how Mary was greatly favored. She was the one and only chosen vessel by which the Lord would enter our world. Yet she alone could bear the Christ child. Again, being the only woman in history to be the mother of our Lord. And yet, what I think is so astonishing is that we each enjoy a greater blessing and a greater relationship with Jesus than that. The scriptures are sure to tell us that we are even closer to Jesus than Mary was by birth. There's an occasion a little later on in Luke's gospel when a woman cries out from the crowd towards Jesus saying, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and who nursed you." If you remember Jesus' response, it's an astonishing one. He corrects her. "No, blessed rather is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. He who does the will of my Father," Jesus says, "these are my brothers and sisters and mother." There is a relationship to Christ within all of us. A relationship far nearer to Jesus than mere flesh and blood. Of mere familial relationship. For us, dear friends, there is a relationship that goes well beyond the mother-child relationship. Today, we may rejoice that we have the Spirit of Jesus within us. We ourselves are temples of the Lord, Paul says. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us. And again, that is so much closer than any relationship that exists on the mere physical realm. We have a relationship with Christ today, knowing that our very souls are knitted together with him. He is in us and we are in him, the Bible says, as if we are intertwined with the Lord. We are interlocked with one another, be broken, with a loving union that is stronger than death, separate us from the love of God. Not hunger or thirst, Paul says, not sin or nakedness or sword, not height nor depth nor anything, separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Say that each of us, we are all little arcs of the covenant. We who are in Christ Jesus by grace through faith, we are arcs of the covenant, carrying the presence and power of Jesus with us wherever we go. And with that, dear friends, let us use that privilege to bring that wake of blessings behind us wherever we go. If you get anything out of the sermon tonight, I want it to be this. It's the observation of how much joy Mary brings to Elizabeth when she draws near to her, when God was within her. What blessings Elizabeth enjoyed because Mary, who carried the Lord inside her, came to her. Without Mary carrying the Lord around with her, Elizabeth might not have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary might never have sung such a glorious song of praise that is now known all over the world. Now, there is a great benefit when believers come together for fellowship. I love the quote, "Happiness communicated doubles itself." While grief grows greater by concealing, joy grows greater through expression. And what a blessing it is for God's people when they come together to share communion and to share the presence of God that we have with one another. Communion with our fellow believers, it ought to be cherished as if it were some sort of means of grace. It ought to be a refreshing break along our journey along the straight and narrow path to come together with our fellow travelers. It helps us. It helps one another. There's mutual gain and blessing. As iron sharpens iron, Solomon says, so does one man sharpen another. Yes, we must always remember, dear friends, we need to carry the Lord with us, obviously. Not shut him in and keep his light back from shining forth. Not hiding him under a bushel, but we must carry him upon our lips so that his light can shine forth in our conversations. There are so many who love the Lord and yet somehow manage to neglect this important duty. And yet somehow we often hold off from speaking about God, about the greatest blessing we experience. Our conversations with our brothers and sisters rarely seem to climb higher than the weather. Our conversations are so awake of blessing behind it as it should. Again, as living arcs of God, blessing should follow us naturally. As of the Almighty, we ought to bring Jesus, his joy and happiness everywhere we lips. As we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, and as we remember his coming into our hearts with grace and truth, coming to us, let us bring him along then into our earthly relationships. Again, into our conversations, greeting each other in the name of the Lord and in word of Christ. Let the world rejoice when a Christian draws near. To receive a prophet who comes in the Lord's name, it's akin to receiving God himself. So, beloved, the Lord, he will be praised forever and always. Then he will be crowned in the praises of his church. Amen. Passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise to dwell among us and to dwell in us. You have sent your Spirit into our midst to live my blessings and joy. We pray that we can ourselves, that you would knit our spirits with your own, that we may be in close communion with you. What any earthly relationship can express. Conform our hearts and minds, heart, and with one mind, with your own. Lead us to hate the things that you hate. Lord, in your you are always present with your people, and we ask that you go. Be on our lips, be your hands and feet in service to our neighbors. Especially, let us be encouraging to one another. Grace, be in our conversations that speak only that which strengthens and encourages. Lord, in your mercy, And merciful Father, as you do, knowing that we most desperately need your favor, leave behind you as you come a wake of giving flood of salvation, of plentiful peace and inexpressible joy. Lead us to praise you, your name be glorified always. Lord, in your mercy, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, and our Lord. Amen. Luther's evening prayer. I through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously prayed that you would forgive me all my sins, where I have done me this night. For into your hands I commend myself. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe... Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for departure.